Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In our studio right now is the guy whose book I was talking about yesterday, Dan Egan. He was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize. He's a Milwaukee guy. And his New York Times bestseller, The Death and Life of the Great Lakes, is just a fascinating read. It is not, I think I said yesterday, that it is the one book Chicago book this year. In fact, The Sixth Extinction is, which is, again, also about the planet we live on and how we take care of it. And that's by Elizabeth Colbert. Colbert will be in town, but today in town is Dan Egan, and he's speaking at the Harold Washington Library at 6 o'clock tonight. Welcome to the studio, and welcome back to Chicago. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing really well.
What's the bottom line? The Death and Life of the Great Lakes. By the way, I read this book. I quoted extensively from it yesterday. It's a little heartbreaking, but I haven't lost hope for the water either.
Yeah, I mean, the lakes have suffered a lot over the last 200 years, but they're still spectacular. I mean, you can see that every day. You can see that out this window right here.
What's the worst threat to the Great Lakes?
Well, if I was living in Chicago right now, I would feel threatened by the Great Lakes as much as worrying about the threats to the Great Lakes. It's water levels is a big issue.
Yeah, well, didn't we notice that this weekend?
Yeah, we have the same thing going on up in Milwaukee.
What was that all about? Was it the rain or was it the wind pushing the water?
It was waves and it's water levels. You know, we're within a few centimeters of all-time record high, which was in 1986 when you had Lakeshore Drive underwater.
That's a function of what?
Well, the water levels are cyclical, but what's going on right now, and historically they kind of peaked, ebbed and flowed. First of all, they have little ebbs and flows throughout the year. They'll be at their high in the summer and then drop about a foot in the winter and then come back. Underlying that undulation are bigger swings based on about 30 years. And so our record low was in 1964, and our record high was in 1986. Then we hit a new record low in 2013. Then we hit a new record high, or flirting with a new record high right now here in 2020. So it was compressed to 7 years. And so what's going on? It's wacky weather. It's climate. It's a whole new era for the lakes. And there's nothing that says these lakes, this lake in particular that I'm looking at right now, has to stay shackled to its long-term high and long-term low. It can go higher, and that could be trouble.
Trouble because what, it's going to splash over the road or it's going to damage houses?
Yeah, I mean, just imagine this. You know, if the lake, you know, comes back to Lakeshore Drive in January or February because it's not frozen, and then it gets cold, and then you have all that, it's not water, it's ice on the road. I mean, that's just a one episode situation. But when you think about where you could be trending, it's concerning.
I also think about the health, though, of the life in the lake.
Yeah.
I don't think about all of the fish out there. There's a lot of fish out there. But you said the mussel population there is stunning, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know the exact bathymetry of the lake off of Chicago, and I don't know it off of Milwaukee, but I know enough to know that if I were to walk about 400 yards off, get away from the sand, away from the surf, to the bottom of the lake, if you drain the lake, you could walk from Milwaukee to Muskegon on a bed of invasive quagga mussels, which are a lot like zebra mussels. They're
what are they doing that's harmful? You said it keeps the water clean.
Keeps it clear. That's a difference. Clear isn't necessarily clean. A healthy Lake Michigan is going to be a brothy kind of green. And what's happened over the last 15 years or so is they've just stripped all the plankton out of the water and they've made it Caribbean clear. And it's gorgeous, but it's also, you know, strangling.
In other words, we need that organic matter in the water.
Absolutely.
These
the fish got to eat.
All right, then let's get something to eat the mussels.
Well, there is something. There's a little invasive fish called the round goby. And it's, you remember the alewives back in the 1960s, and that was kind of a cockroach of a fish. This is the new cockroach, or at least people thought it was. But it eats mussels, and anything that eats a round goby is doing all right. And as nature would have it, what's doing well are native lake trout, native walleye, native whitefish. Whitefish are eating gobies, and they're not even piscivores. They're not fish-eating fish, typically. But if it's death or a goby, they'll take a goby.
So this is good news, right? Are you encouraged?
But yeah, I mean, it's not all gloom and doom. I mean, we're never going to get back the prairie that, you know, is now Greater Chicago, and we're never going to get back all the species that we once had in the lake, but that doesn't mean we can't reach a new stability. because the lakes have been really swung out of whack since the 1950s, since the opening of the St. Lawrence.
Are you worried
Seaway.
About the Asian carp?
I personally don't fret the carp, but
professionally. Why not? Isn't it inevitable?
Well, I guess when you say, am I worried? I'm worried about the carp in the context of the Great Lakes. I don't dream about carp. I've spent a lot of my life covering Asian carp, so I guess it was kind of a flip answer. I apologize for that. But I've done my time with the carp, and they do pose a real threat to the lakes. And there is more that can be done and needs to be done, and hopefully will be done, because they're mustering. And, you know, I can look down at the Chicago River right here, and, you know, that's the way they go.
These are the ones that jump out of the water when a boat goes down the Illinois River,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you've seen those.
They're so abundant, people shoot them with bows and arrows, for crying out loud, as they sail through the sky.
It's really hard to explain, and words don't really do it justice. That's why you got to go to YouTube.
Do Asian carp, and oh my God, you can't believe it. So if those things come up the river, get past the electrical barrier, which you don't seem to have a lot of confidence in, they get into Lake Michigan, don't they start to screw with everything out there?
Potentially, yeah. You know, there's a debate among biologists as to whether or not these mussels that we were just talking about beat the carp to the punch, because the carp eat the same thing the mussels do, plankton. They're filter feeders. And the lakes now, Lake Michigan at certain times of year, only has a plankton population of about 10% of what it had pre-mussel invasion. So there's not a lot of food out there, but these carp are resourceful, and there's a reason why they've made it as far as they have coming up the Mississippi River Basin. So yeah, they could throw things out of whack all over again.
Less than a minute. Tell me what you think about the use of the lake water by that that plant in Milwaukee.
Foxconn. Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of controversy over that. And there's a thing called the Great Lakes Compact, which restricts diversions out of the Great Lakes. And this facility is being supplied water through the provisions of that compact. Still, people get a little bit queasy about taking Lake Michigan water for such a big industrial process. Then again, you know, jobs and clean water aren't mutually exclusive. I don't think it's really a question of the volume of water they're going to be taking, especially given the near high record
high
lows we've got right now. It's the quality that they send back, and that's going to be up to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and they're going to have to do a job there.
You're in town tonight at the Harold Washington Library talking along these lines?
Yes. Yeah.
If you do not have The Death and Life of the Great Lakes by Dan Egan, get this book. It's fascinating. It's really accessible. If you're not a scientist, you'll enjoy this book. And it's one of the great resources of the world, where you put the freshwater in context to seawater, and available freshwater is fascinating.
Yeah.
So check out the book. Check out him. 6 o'clock tonight, Harold Washington Library downtown. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having me.